Hello and welcome to the Wednesday night service of the Texas Fellowship of the Fishermen Ministry. If you would like to support our broadcast and our ministry, please visit our website, which is www.thefishermenministry.org, and click on the donation button located on the site. Thank you for your support.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Grace Chapel out at Grace Ranch in relatively warm West Texas. We got some folks who brought a cool Vermont breeze in here, but they're seeming to make the adjustment all right. Praise God. You guys ready to praise and worship the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. Let's get to it. Give the Lord a cheer. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Give the Lord a cheer. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. You know, it's funny, sometimes I'll be talking with somebody, and as I'm talking with that person, I think that would be something good to share with some folks. Usually when that happens, I then forget about it all too often. But today, amazingly enough, I actually remembered. I was talking with somebody this morning, and he called me, and it was what he was going through and what he was describing to me was a situation on every front. Every front he was confronted with, whether it was work, whether it was ministry, whether it was you name it. It was too tall, and he had kind of lost hope. I don't know if anybody can relate to that. Does that ever happen to anybody? Mm-hmm. Where they're like looking at things and they're thinking to themselves, how do I deal with this? Well, you know, there's a psalm that actually hits on this. It's Psalm 84. And I'd like to go there, and it dovetails with the songs we are singing as well. Because really, when it comes to it, folks, the walk of faith is daily walk. You know, when you sing Amazing Grace, you're singing, recognizing your own need for it daily. And when you recognize your need for that amazing grace, what happens is you have to apply it and receive it in your own life. And it was kind of interesting in this person I was talking with, we were talking about another person who's going through a difficult time. And I was saying to this person that, you know, this person was older, this person is probably doesn't have that much longer to live. And the person can see the fruit of his family and the things going on around him, his failures. And one of the hardest things when you see the fruit of your own failures in your family and everything is that you're looking at these things and you can see your energy, your everything now. It's too late. You know, I mean, you can't go back and rewrite 80 years or 70 years or 60 years or however many years it is. You can't rewrite a single day. But you can see it written in the people round about you, and it can be grievous and it can be very sad. And I know this person is having talked to this individual, and I pray the Lord give her wisdom in it. But the amazing thing about that grace is that grace is not only big enough to save me, or in this individual, this man who's now looking back and all of this life that seems to testify against him. But you know what? It's big enough for every single individual I failed with. I mean, it's really an amazing, amazing, amazing thing that God is able to even redeem our failures, our mistakes, not only in ourselves and give it to us that we can then minister in compassion and love unto others, but in those that are the victims of that which we have done. That's really how amazing his grace is. So over here in Psalm 84, I'll go ahead and start at the beginning. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. It's funny, today, this morning, my little girl Ruthie was talking to me about how she enjoyed when we used to do tent revivals. And she was remembering one in particular at Robbins and Groton where the wind and the rain knocked down our tent and soaked my Bible, which is still, this Bible still is coming apart because of it. That one day I took my hair dryer out, tried to fix it, but didn't. But she was remembering, and you know, those tabernacles of the Lord, those places where we get to go and experience him in a tangible, real manner that is unmistakable to us at the time that it is happening. I mean, unmistakable. You know, you walk out of that tent knowing that Jesus is. You walk out of that tent knowing it's sufficient for you. You walk out of that tent that he loves you. You walk out of that tent with a vision and a desire and a thing that you can see afar off. I want to go do that. And you're all excited. And you think, how amiable are the tabernacles of the Lord? Sometimes we have to go back and remember how amiable are the tabernacles of the Lord. And it's interesting that when it says there, it says, O Lord of hosts. Because you know what's the next thing that you run into? Talking about, you run into the situation that's too tall for you, too big for you. You can't do it. You know what you need when the situation's too tall for you and too big for you and you can't do it? You need an army. You need an army that is bigger than every enemy you've got. And that army begins with the Lord. It includes his angels. It includes his saints. Every single person who is in here right now has been a part of the Lord's army on behalf of others. I can tell you, looking out here amongst this congregation, and if I look out and know a number of the folks who are out there, every single person who I know is listening to this message today has been a soul for the benefit of another. I think as you look around, and we all look around here, and every single one of us look around at one another, leave everybody else out for a moment, just one another, and think of the times that one another has said something to you in season that has helped you in a time of need. See, amiable also refers to family, folks. Refers to family. It refers to that family that's closer than blood. It refers to that person who you know loves you no matter what, even when you've been a jerk and won't hold it against you. And it goes on, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. You know, one of the things I love about the Psalms, and we sing some of these songs, you know, as the deer panteth for the water brook, so my soul longeth after you. Here we have it, you know, my soul longeth. I don't know about you, who likes to long after something? Is anybody here like longing after something? I mean, when you get it, you really appreciate it, and the longing seems to not be all that important anymore. But until you get it, or at least are pretty confident you're going to get it, it pretty much doesn't longing stink? I hate longing. So let's look at it. My soul longs, comfy. Yea, even fainteth. Oh, that's even better. Fainteth. Woo! For today, you know, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I faint and long in it. Right? It's funny, I read songs together, do we? And we like the one. We play the one a lot more together sometimes. You know what I'm saying? But the fact of the matter is, the time where you're really tested and the time in which you really grow and the time in which you really come to know of a certainty that God is good is in those times when your soul has longed and your heart has fainted for the courts of the Lord. Your heart and your flesh is crying out. When it's crying out, you know what it's crying out? Where are you? Feels like he is as far from you as anybody ever could be. And that time that you're in the how amiable are your tabernacles seems to be long gone. Seems to be something that was like a mirage and wasn't really, really that important. But when it happened, I'll tell you what, you knew it was important. You knew it was important. There was no doubt in your mind how blessed you were at that time. And he's going to get into why this happens here in a bit. He cries out, yea, the sparrow hath found an house. Yeah, I mean, look at the sparrow. It's got a house. What about me? And the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Now, I want to hit on that. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Because, see, one of the things you have to do, if you're going to grow in the, if you're not going to be like those that draw back unto perdition, which is the common way. It is the common way. There are few that persevere and press through to the end. What did Jesus say? If you endure unto the end, you shall be saved. There are very few that do. And what he's doing here when he's talking about these things is he's taking that sparrow, he's taking these things and sees how God has provided for them, and he is determining himself to believe yet again for himself. No matter what it is that's going on round about him, no matter what it is. See, there are times, there are many times as a believer where you have to choose to believe God when you are angry, you are frustrated, you are justified, you think for absolute certain that surely I don't have to anymore. And you want something, someone, somehow, anyhow, to basically justify and tell you it's okay. And on the one hand, it is kind of okay, in the sense that it's understandable. But understanding why people find themselves in a place doesn't get them out of the place. You know what I mean? You can understand your way all the way to hell. You still have to make a choice. Each of us have to make a choice. And the psalmist is making that choice. Let's go on. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. What is the house of the Lord? Where is the house of the Lord? Who is the house of the Lord? See, the house of the Lord is the body of Jesus Christ, where we dwell by faith. Remember over in Hebrews chapter 10, it says, and the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. That means every aspect of your life, you yield up to faith. You yield up to the Lord. You submit it unto Him without exception. Every aspect of your life, every day of your life. See, it becomes a way of life. It's that new way of living that we find. And the amazing thing is in that new way of living, you know who shows up? Jesus. He shows up. He shows up all the time. You may be feeling for a night as we sing that one song, I've been, pressed but not crushed, persecuted, not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. Isn't that how it goes, more or less? Which is right out of Philippians or one of those books. I forget which one of Paul's letters. We sing that song, and that's how you go through those times. Absolutely, you go through those times. Why do you think you need the Lord God of hosts to see you to the other side? Because when you're in those times, you are surrounded. You are surrounded, and you do not see a way out. But when you determine to yet believe again, it's amazing how the way out presents itself. So it says, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. It says, the Lord God inhabiteth the praises of his people, right? We sing a song, we bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. So whether you feel like praising Him, whether you don't feel like praising Him, whether you're having a tough day or whether you're having a joyous day, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And it goes on. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, and then read these together, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well, the rain also filleth the pools, they go from strength to strength, every one of them, and Zion appeareth before God. Now, I wanted to get to this concept of strength to strength and go back to that revival tent for a moment and how amiable are thy tabernacles. I remember 25 years ago, before I'd ever been in a revival tent, when I met the Lord, the day I met the Lord, Richard laid out a vision. He took me through 2 Timothy 3. He took me through the whole plan of God from beginning to end. I came out my first day essentially seeing God's plan from the Garden of Eden all the way through the book of Revelation. And I was ecstatic. I don't know how to describe it to you any other way. I was ecstatic. All I wanted to do was get busy doing it, being a part of God's plan. And for 25 years, all I've wanted to do is get busy being a part of God's plan. That's all I've ever wanted to do. We have people here who've known me all that time over here on my left. You guys know me. Is that not the case? Yeah, I mean, right or wrong, it was always the case. I mean, you know, praise God. It's always been the case. It has absolutely always been the case. You know what? It's still the case today. It's still the case today, but you know what? Myself, like everyone else, have a passage to make. See, when I met the Lord, I was all excited, full of vim and vigor, and wanted to go out and do it. But you know what? I had heard about God's strength, but I didn't know anything about walking in it. I knew about walking in my strength, and at that time, I was even younger than Corey. I was even pretty strong back then still. I could do some things. I wasn't like this guy. Ah, Kim's like shaking her head. All right, come on. Yeah, come on, we can bet. She doesn't remember me being out there with a pickaxe baking through the ice and to get open up the thing back there and some of the things. See, it's all gone. It's gone. But I mean, at that time already, I'd had 10 years as a desk jockey. Yeah, so I wasn't like I'd been younger, but I still had the determination and the like that way. But, you know, I was going out in my strength, and that's how we begin. You know, the Lord, we receive the Lord, and we step out in our faith. We step out in our faith, but we finish in His. We step out in our strength, but we finish in His. We step out in our love, but we finish in His. How do we get that? Get to the other side of that? That's that Valley of Baca part. See, that Valley of Baca is that part you get out there and you're crying. And you're thinking, I'm never going to make it. There is no way. And you want to give up. You want to give up. And you know what? When you want to give up, I don't know about, has anybody ever... When you give up, do you not usually have something that's paired with that giving up? That's called something? Is anybody here, anybody got the idea what I'm thinking of? What's the word that goes with giving up? You have an excuse or a justification, which is another word for excuse. You always have something that makes it okay for you to give up, right? Maybe somebody's not treated you right. Maybe your hopes and aspirations have been frustrated and you feel like they've been squashed. Maybe you've been disappointed. Maybe the job that God's laid out for you just seems like it'd be better for somebody else to do it than me. How many people just hear when they have a job to do are thinking, I really wish Davey or maybe Steve could go do this for me. It's funny, I used to call down to South Carolina and I'd be talking to the guys about something and I'd say, well, just da-da-da-da-da, you know, say this to them. And they say, that was perfect, Steve. Can we just write that down or something? I said, no. I remember kind of being exasperated, you know. I'd say, all right, look, bring the person in here. Because nobody wanted to be the bad guy or whatever. You know, I'm never the bad guy, am I, Cheryl? I'm always just the nice, touchy-feely, cushy guy, right? I'm always what everybody wants to come hug up to, kind of like a porcupine. So the fluffy Steve the porcupine, you know. But the fact of the matter is that they would come and I would speak to them. And now some of those guys I see doing it themselves, praise God. You have to be willing to do something and show somebody how to do it in order for them to learn how to do it themselves. And the Lord knows that. But that Valley of Baca, that place where you want to give up and you cry out and you think you're never going to be able to make it to the other side and the things that you once believed just must not be true because they have not come to pass. That's the place where you pass from your strength into His strength. It's actually part of the trip. You actually can't skip it. You want to skip it. I mean, I don't know. Does anybody really want to pass through the Valley of Baca? Kind of like the longing and the fainting and all that stuff we were talking about. The Valley of Baca is where you're crying. You're crying. But you know what? When you cry, you know what pours out? The Holy Spirit of God. It is the Holy Spirit of God that raises you from the dead. It is the Holy Spirit of God that empowers you to operate in God's love. It's the Holy Spirit of God that enables you to do every work of God there is. It's the Holy Spirit of God that enables you to overcome and get past yourself. And it's funny, I'll share something with you. Many of you know this, I think, but there was a woman here some years ago. Her name was Beth Ann. Remember what a lovely woman Beth Ann was? Davey, like, sicked me on Beth Ann. Or I don't know if he sicked me on Beth Ann or if he sicked Beth Ann on me. I don't know which way it was. Either way, I don't think either of us liked it. But I got to spend, he had me take Beth Ann to lunch. He had me take Beth Ann to go into town and get things. He had me take Beth Ann to all these. He had me talk to Beth Ann about getting baptized. I mean, I got to spend a lot of time with Beth Ann. Whew. And it was funny, you know, Beth Ann had asked Davey, I think it was Beth Ann, had asked Davey a question one time because, of course, like, I disciple under Davey. Many people disciple under me. Some people disciple under Ann or other folks, okay? And people disciple under folks. And she was like, but who do you disciple under, Davey? Who do you disciple under? And it was great. You know, Davey's answer was, everyone. And see, one of the points that people miss in this, and they don't get this. I mean, how could that be true? How could that be true? How could it be? I mean, it's not like Davey does what all the rest of us say, right? Is that how it works out? It's not like Davey goes around and polls us and then decides what to do, right? I mean, has anybody seen him do that yet? Is that part of his makeup? Is that his wife over here has known him for a little bit? A little less than my sister, who's known him for like 2 hours longer. That's not at all how he does, and neither does the Lord operate that way. But see, the thing is that if you're going to have to help another, if you're going to learn to help another, you got to get past yourself, and you got to get past them. And that is hard. That can be very painful because, of course, it is as obvious as the nose or the pimple on the end of your nose, especially if you're a teenager. Then the pimple on your end of your nose. You remember those when you were a teenager and you try everything to try and make that pimple go away, and then you'd be so embarrassed and you'd still go to school and hope nobody saw you. Anybody remember things like that? I mean, I'm a guy. I remember stupidity like that. That is awful. It's hard. It's sad to admit that that was the case, but I remember those days, you know, feeling that way and stuff like that. Oh, she's going to see me like this. You know, you kind of walk by with your hand in front of your nose and stuff like that and kind of hide. Walk with, this side's looking pretty good, isn't it? You know, please don't let me see the other side. You know, but I mean, that's how it is with people, is that they got this problem, and that to us, it's as obvious as the pimple on the nose, on the end of our nose. But the fact of the matter is, the reason why we're so upset about it is because of something that we've got that's wrong. You know, I don't know about you guys, but I at times get a little frustrated about all the things that are wrong with me. I don't know, does anybody else get frustrated? Like, I am so sure that this is their fault. Yeah, I got it, and stuff like that, and I'm all determined, I got it, I'm feeling pretty good about myself. And then I learn, not that that other person is justified in what they're doing or that they're right, but I all of a sudden learn something about me that is the reason why that's bothering me. And so annoying. And so frustrating. And so, why can't this person just stop being like that? I try to tell them, and they don't seem to hear it. Ah! And they're so annoying. And they're so frustrating. And then the Lord shows me my problem. And you know what's amazing is when he shows me my problem and I get past my problem, their problem doesn't seem so big anymore. Doesn't seem big at all anymore. In fact, all of a sudden I have compassion to them and their problem. Before I just had anger and frustration. Now I can actually have compassion towards them. And I can have compassion towards them. And when that, there's a couple of different things. First of all, when it doesn't become that important, it's like, what's the big deal? What was I so upset about? Why can't I just love this person and cover that for him? You don't actually get so hung up about it anymore. And then what happens is it frees you up that if the Lord, when it's his time to deal with that person on that problem, because it's no longer a problem to you, no longer bugging you, all of a sudden, now you can be a part of his helping to fix them. And you can do it with compassion and in love and in that meekness of wisdom that the scripture talks about. And so that Valley of Baca has many different elements to it. But it is the way in which you pass from operating in your strength, in your faith, in your love, in your grace, in your mercy, to walking in his. And you have to embrace that element of the journey, and we have to be compassionate to one another as we struggle in the midst. And you can have that compassion because you know what it's like. And so you don't judge or hold it against them. And I share this with you folks because it, if you read this, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. When your strength is in the Lord, then that means that that which is happening in your life is of him. And of course, his blessings going to follow. When you're operating in your strength, you know what? His blessing isn't there. Because you're doing it. What do you need him for? You only need him You only operate in his strength when you recognize you need him. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them who, passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them. All right. We are all, each of us individually, are on a pilgrimage where we are not at the finish line yet. Are any of us at the finish line? None of us are at the finish line. That means we're still works in progress. We're here because of his promise. He's brought us, what's that song when we sing in Amazing Grace? You know, it says, it was grace that has brought me safe thus far, and it is grace that will lead me home. And see, one other point I just want to make in this, when it says grace that'll lead me home, our home is heaven. All right? The ways of heaven we learn here so that we can dwell there. So see, that's the purpose of grace. The purpose of grace is to cover us as we learn those lessons. Because when we get there, it is taken away. So don't ever think of grace as being stuck in neutral and I'm just a sinner saved by grace. It's always going from your strength to his strength. And you know what? When you emerge on the other side, it's kind of like this, you know, when you're standing back and you begin, you see this mountain over there, and you think, I can take that mountain. And then you start walking and you're like, oh my God, is that mountain? I'm not even at the mountain yet. I mean, I remember climbing a mountain in Peru one time and it was so beautiful. It was like I could reach out and touch it. It was like almost like a Christmas tree, this mountain. You know, like, oh, that's so beautiful. I could just touch there. And then I started walking, and like 6 hours later, I wasn't even at the part starting to go up yet. And I'm like, oh my God, what in the heck was I doing? And then you start going up, and you think, I'm making it now. And no, I got up there just before dark. It was worth it. 15,000 feet when a moon rises, most extraordinary moonrise I've ever seen in my life. It's beautiful. But it took a long way to get up there. When I began, I had no idea. I thought it'd been an hour hike tonight. No, I spent the night up there. But when we begin that, we can see the end, we can see the destination, we're excited about it. But then when we're passing through the Valley of Baca, we often lose sight of it. I'm telling you, he'll bring you through. He will bring each and every one of us through. All we got to do is hang on, and he will bring us through. And part of that hanging on is that crying. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. And he'll help you. Amen. You guys want to play some songs here? May the Lord bless you, folks. We'll be back up here on Sunday at 11 a.m. Mountain Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time.
Give the Lord a cheer.
Okay.
Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a cheer. Thank you.
Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord.
Yeah.
Give the Lord a cheer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. I think they got another song for us. Give the Lord a cheer. Is that the last song? All right, then, Bob, you go on back to the control room. Well, folks, we just thank you, and thank you, Lord, for this time together. And pray, Lord, that with each and every one of us as we go from here, that we'll go with a renewed hope and confidence in you and your ability to see us all.
Listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.